They are the ones who say, do not stand on those who are with Allah's Messenger until they desert him. وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ To Allah belong the treasures of the heavens and the earth. But the hypocrites do not understand. They say, if we return to Medina, indeed the more honorable will expel there from the Mina. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Honor, power and glory belong to Allah and to His Messenger and to the believers, but the hypocrites do not know this. How do we save ourselves from hypocrisy? That's the question that arises. So Allah tells us, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, don't let your wealth or your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Because the hypocrite is the supreme egotist. My children and my wealth and my sons and my daughters. Allah says, don't let your wealth or your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. The hypocrite is one who has forgotten Allah, and that's how he plunged himself into disaster. And whoever does that, then they are the losers. وَأَنْفِقُوا And spend from what we have provided you before death comes to one of you. See, it's said that iman without spending is hypocrisy. When it's just talk, 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 and that's all you can do and you're not giving anything out. What infaq is this? Just sadqat? No. Any and every blessing Allah has given us, whether tangible or intangible. Allah has given me children, so I need to raise my children as Muslims. Allah has given me wealth, I need to spend of my wealth on Islam. Allah has given me time, I need to spend my time serving Allah and His creation. Allah has given me knowledge, I need to share my knowledge with people for Allah. Why? What's the urgency? We say, oh, lots of time. I'm too young, I'm not ready. Allah reminds us of the urgency. The sands of time are running out. مِن قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ Before death comes to one of you. And then he says, My Lord, if only you would give me respite for a little while. One more day to pray. One more day to read the Quran. One more day to obey my parents. One more day to be good to my children. One more day to do something for you. Then I would give sadaqah of my wealth and I would be among the righteous. So whenever I hear people say, oh, I'm not ready for Hajj. I'm going to do Hajj when I'm spiritually ready. Do we have any guarantee that we're going to live forever? That we've got 2 more years or even 1 more month in which we can do Hajj and become spiritually ready? Because Allah warns us, وَلَن يُؤَخَّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا Allah grants respite to none when its appointed time comes. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ And Allah is all aware of what you do, of your excuses, your justifications and your self-deception. Surah At-Taghabun Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth glorifies Allah. His is the dominion. To Him belong all the praises and He is able to do all things. He it is who created you. Then some of you are disbelievers and some of you are believers. And Allah is all seer of what you do. He has created the heavens and the earth with truth and He shaped you and He made beautiful your shapes. And to Him is the final return. He knows what is in the heavens and on earth, and He knows what you conceal and what you reveal. And Allah is the all-knower of what is in the breasts of men. Hath not the news reached you of those who disbelieved aforetime? And so they tasted the evil result of their disbelief, and theirs will be a painful torment. That was because there came to them their messengers with clear proofs, but they said, Shall mere men guide us? So they disbelieved and turned away. وَاسْتَغْنَ اللَّهِ But Allah was not in need of them. And Allah is self-sufficient, worthy of all praise. The disbelievers pretend that they will never be resurrected. قُلْ بَلَا وَرَبِّي Say yes by my Lord. You will certainly be resurrected. Then you will be informed of what you did. Do you doubt that? وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ And that is easy for Allah. Therefore believe in Allah and His Messenger and in the light that we have sent down. And Allah is all aware of what you do. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ لِيَوْمِ الْجَمْعِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ Remember the day when He will gather you all on the day of gathering. That will be the day of mutual loss and gain. What is the day of تَغَابُن? غَبَن, trade, buying and selling. What is this mutual loss and gain? We learn from a hadith that every person has been granted a portion of paradise and a portion of hell. Now when someone goes to hell, his part of paradise is given to the rest of the people in paradise. And when someone goes to Jannah, his portion in hell is given to the rest of the people of hell. The Prophet ﷺ also explained that no one can enter paradise or hell until they have paid for every zulm, every injustice they did, even if it were a slab. And people asked how? He explained that it was by swapping good deeds and bad deeds. In other words, sins involving the rights of other human beings. If these rights are not pardoned by their owners in this life, they may be demanded on the day of judgment, and they will be demanded on the day of judgment, paid in the form of good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ once asked, "Do you know who the truly bankrupt person is?" And companions responded, "Well, one who has no money." And he said, "No." He informed them it was one who came on the day of judgment with his good deeds. After having cursed and hit people and stolen their property in this life, those whom he had abused would demand their rights, and good deeds would be taken from his scale to fulfill their rights until his good deeds run out. Now just imagine, the good deeds that we earn with so much trouble, with so much pain, the salat of fajr that we get up and pray and we force ourselves out of bed, the Quran that we read and we sit down and we spend that time reading it, would anything compare to the agony of seeing our good deed go to someone else? That I'm the one who sweated, I'm the one who worked hard, but it's been given to someone else. Then what happens? Eventually his good deeds run out. Now imagine his desperation that he's watching. Someone comes up and say, "You gossiped about me, so give me good deeds now." And he has to give his precious salat, his precious fast, his precious sadaqat to that person. Just for that one careless moment of gossip. And he has to give his precious deeds away. And with desperation he must see his good deeds are finishing. Then what happens? And now his good deeds have run out. But the people are still standing there. What about me? Then bad deeds would be taken from their scales and put on his scales. It's bad enough that we have to pay for our own lives. Imagine someone else's lie being given to you. Someone else's gossip being given to you. Someone else's cheating or dishonesty. Someone else's disobedience of their parents being given to you. You're having to pay for it. Why? Because you harmed their rights in this world. Until all of their rights were paid back in full. And then when they leave, what happens? Following that, he would be thrown into hell. No good deeds left. Nothing but evil. And the evil of others, what's more? The Prophet ﷺ warned us, it's better to blush in this world than in the hereafter. If we have cheated someone, then now is the time to make amends, to return them, to apologize to them. If we've hurt someone's feelings, for God's sake, apologize now before it's too late. If we've gossiped about someone, then what? Pray for them. Keep on praying for them till you've repaid them, you fulfill that right. Lest on the day of judgment we see these precious deeds of ours. How precious they'll be on that day. When you get up from your salat and you pray to Allah, "Allah accept it from me." And then to watch that salat being given away to someone else. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ لِيَوْمِ الْجَمْعِ. Remember the day when He will gather you all? The day of mutual loss and gain. May Allah protect us from having to be among such people. And whoever believes in Allah and performs good deeds, Allah will expiate from him his sins and will admit him to gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. That will be the great success. People don't forgive us in this world. Are they going to forgive us in the hereafter? When it's a matter of salvation, it's a matter of life or death, literally. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. That's why Allah warns us, the day a man will flee from his brother and his mother and his father, everyone in this earth. Why? أَلَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Only people whose relationships were based on love of Allah, they are the only ones who will want that friendship to continue in the hereafter as well. And those who disbelieved and denied our signs, they will be the dwellers of the fire, to dwell therein forever. And worst indeed is that destination. No calamity befalls but by the leave of Allah. Now this is something that often people find their iman affected by. That when they're going through good times, fine, they obey Allah. But Allah afflicts them with any loss and they start saying, "I'm angry with Allah. I'm not going to pray to Allah. What was the good of all my prayers and all my salat and all my sadaqahs?" Allah reminds us, no calamity befalls but by the leave of Allah. And whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. Whoever trusts in Allah and goes on praising Allah, then Allah guides his heart. And Allah is the all-knower of everything. See, it's so simple that the moment is either in a state of suffering, whereupon he has to do sabr, or he's in a state of blessing, whereupon he has to do shukr. What are we supposed to do, whether joy or suffering? أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. But if you turn away, that's not for you, fine. Then the duty of our Messenger is only to convey the message clearly. Allah is not going to force obedience down anyone. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah. None has the right to be worshipped but He. And in Allah alone, therefore, let the believers put their trust. O you who believe, indeed among your mates and your children, they are enemies for you. Therefore, beware of them. But if you pardon them and overlook and forgive, then indeed Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. I mentioned that for a hypocrite, the greatest reasons of hypocrisy are his own self-interest. So the hypocrite says, my children, my wealth, everything comes first. And he'll compromise on his deen for the sake of his children. And he'll cheat and hurt people for the sake of his children, for the sake of his wealth. Allah warns us, don't let your families and your children become obstacles in the path of Allah. And sometimes it happens that our very families become barriers in our nearness to Allah. Mothers complain, oh, I don't get time to pray, I'm so busy with the children. Allah says, don't let them become trials. Don't let them become obstacles in the path of your obeying Allah. Your wealth and your children are only a test to see whether you use this wealth for Allah or you use it for other means. To see whether you raise your children for Allah or you raise them for shaitan. Where is Allah? With Him is a great reward. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. What if you are bound by circumstances? Allah says, be as Allah conscious as much as you can. Allah knows every person's circumstances. Allah knows every person's difficulties. So be conscious of Allah as much as you can. وَاسْمَعُوا. And listen. And obey and spend in charity. That is better for yourself. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is saved from his own selfishness, then they are the successful ones. Now you'll notice here that Allah doesn't say that if your family is trying to stop you, then you should be rude to them and boycott them. And sometimes we find that happens, that when we turn towards deen and we have this, you know, holier than thou attitude and, well, our family knows nothing and so I'm not going to listen to them. Allah says, beware of them. Yes, don't listen to them if they're telling you to disobey Allah. But if you pardon them and overlook and forgive, remember Allah is also forgiving you your faults. So don't be too judgmental and don't be harsh with them. Be soft with them, but don't compromise on your deen. And this is the balance that the Muslims used to follow. And Allah says, give something in charity. إِن تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. If you lend Allah a beautiful loan. What is قَرْضِ حَسَنًا? When you give something for Islam. Whether it's 5 rupees that you're donating to a madrasa or a mosque or any cause of knowledge, He will double it for you and He will forgive you. Our sadaqah helps to extinguish our sins. And Allah is most appreciative, most forbearing. All know of the unseen and the seen. He knows our true motive for giving. The Almighty, the All-Wise. Surah At-Talaq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Ayyuhan Nabiyyu. O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you divorce women, divorce them at their iddah, their prescribed periods, and count accurately their periods, and fear Allah, your Lord. And do not turn the women out of their homes, nor shall they themselves leave, except in case they are guilty of some open adultery. Now look at the contrast between Muslim men, that we find often Muslim men making the worst husbands, abusing their wives physically, emotionally. If the man is angry with his wife, so he throws her out of the home, sends her back to her mother's house. Allah is saying over here, do not turn them out of their homes. And those are the set limits of Allah. And whoever transgresses the limits of Allah, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. He has wronged himself. He might have the upper hand over his wife in this world, but Allah will punish him for cruelty in the hereafter. You do not know that maybe Allah will afterwards bring some new thing to pass. The reason that the woman is supposed to stay in the husband's house during the iddah is to encourage the chances for reunion, that maybe they both return to each other. Then when they are about to attain their term appointed, the iddah is about to be completed, either take them back in a beautiful manner or part with them in a beautiful manner. No acrimony, no disputes, no bitterness as we find in our society. That when a man and woman divorce, not just that couple, but the whole family is broken up. And take as witness 2 just people from amongst you. And establish the testimony for Allah. That will be an admonition given to him who believes in Allah in the last day. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَصِبْ. An awesome ayah. Whoever is conscious of Allah, Allah will make a way for him and he will provide him from places he could never even imagine. A woman going through divorce, her life is crumbling apart. She sees everything around her just falling apart. Allah says, just trust in me, obey me, you keep to the limits and Allah will help you. A man divorcing his wife, Allah says, stay within the limits. Don't abuse her, don't harass her, don't persecute her. Because if you fear Allah, Allah will reward you for that. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever trusts in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is enough for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Indeed, Allah has set a measure for all things. And those of your women, as have passed the age of menstruation, menopause, for them the iddah, if you have doubt about their periods, is 3 months. But for those who have no menstrual periods, you know, sometimes small girls are wed before they've even started menstruating, their iddah is also 3 months. And for those who are pregnant, their iddah is until they lay down their burden, the moment of delivery, even if it's a few hours later. If the man divorces his wife and a few hours later she's gone into labor and produced the child. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Again Allah repeats, whoever fears Allah, Allah will make his matter easy for him. How surprising. Allah's mentioning divorce laws. And Allah keeps on repeating taqwa as an injunction for the man and woman that don't forget Allah. That if you're abusing the other person in this world, Allah will punish you for that in the hereafter. ذَلِكَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. This is the command of Allah. It's not a joke. Not something, well, you can think about if you want to be good to your wife. No, this is the command of Allah, which He has sent down to you. Again, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will expiate from him his sins and will expand his reward. Lodge the divorced women where you dwell, according to your means. And do not harm them so as to straiten them. Don't torture them. Some men torture their wives and make them go on waiting for khula, and the wife has to spend several years of her life suspended. And if they are pregnant, then spend on them till they lay down their burden. Look at the rights Allah has given women in Islam. Then if they suckle the children for you, give them their due payment and let each of you accept the advice of the other in a just way. This is the Islamic concept of divorce, that the husband and wife still confer with each other when it comes to the rights of the child, that they discuss the upbringing of the child. But if you make difficulties for one another, then some other woman may suckle for him, for the father of the child. In other words, if it's too intolerable a situation, then someone else can breastfeed the child. Let the rich man spend according to his means. And the man whose resources are restricted, let him spend according to what Allah has given him. Allah puts no burden on any person beyond what He has given him. Allah will grant after hardship ease. And many a town revolted against the command of its Lord and His messengers. And we called it to a severe account, and we shall punish it with a horrible torment. So it tasted the evil result of its affair, and the consequence of its affair was loss. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. Allah has prepared for them a severe torment. Look at the relevance of these verses, that if we disobey Allah, if a man goes on torturing his wife, what does Allah say when you disobey Him? Allah has prepared for them a severe torment. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So fear Allah, O people of death who have believed. Allah has indeed sent down to you a reminder and a messenger who recites to you the verses of Allah containing clear explanations, that He may take out those who believe and do good deeds from darknesses into light. And whosoever believes in Allah and does good deeds, Allah will admit him into gardens under which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. To dwell therein forever. Allah has indeed granted for him a beautiful provision. It is Allah who has created 7 heavens and of the earth the like thereof. His command descends between them, that you may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah surrounds all things in knowledge. Surah Al-Tahrim. We find that the themes of Surah Al-Tahrim are most beautiful. Allah tells us about family life in Islam. He explains the relationship between the husband and the wife, how it's supposed to be based on trust and loyalty. And we find Allah presenting a broad spectrum of woman's role in different spheres. We find the depiction of a saint, of a scholar, and of a queen and wife. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Yuhan Nabiyu, O Prophet, why do you forbid that which Allah has allowed to you, seeking to please your wife? And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Allah has already ordained for you the absolution from your oaths, and Allah is your protector, and He is the All-Knower, the All-Wise. We find that on one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ swore that he would not eat honey again. He was not allowed to follow his personal desires in making something haram, because had he followed this promise, then Muslims would also have felt that maybe there was something wrong in honey. Now Allah says, remember, when the Prophet disclosed a matter in confidence to one of his wives, then she told it to another, and Allah made it known to him. He informed part thereof and left a part. Then when he told her thereof, she said, who told you this? He said, the All-Knower, the All-Aware has told me. What secret was this? Allah does not tell us. Now we find in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining the meaning of the ayat. Hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahunna. They are a garment for you, and you are a garment for them. What do our clothes do? They protect us. They hide our secret parts and they enhance our beauty. In the same way, the relationship between a husband and his wife is one of loyalty and trust. Not that the wife betrays every confidence that the husband gives her, that the minute he leaves for the office, she rings up the mother and tells her. Allah goes on to say that if you too turn in repentance to Allah, it will be better for you. Your hearts are indeed so inclined, but if you help one another against Him, then indeed Allah is His protector and Jibreel and the righteous among the believers. And furthermore, the angels are His helpers. It may be if He divorced you, that His Lord will give Him instead of you, Azwajan khayra minkunna, wives better than you. Now who are these? Allah gives us a picture of the ideal Muslim women. Muslimatin, women who submit, women who have surrendered to Allah. Mu'minatin, believers. They have iman, they have depth. It's not just the rituals, they follow the spirit behind the rituals. Qanita, turning to Allah, obeying Allah. Qunut, this quality of sensitivity to Allah. Ta'ibat, turning to Allah in repentance. Abidat, worshipping Allah sincerely. Sa'ihat, fasting. Sayyibat wa abkara, whether previously married or virgins. Subhanallah, all these qualities, and we need to analyze ourselves. Do we even possess one? Forget all of these qualities? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Our problem is, the wife turns to Islam and she alienates the husband. Instead of sharing Islam with the husband, she makes him feel Islam is a burden. She makes him feel Islam is a nuisance and something that spoils their relationship. The husband turns towards Islam, he starts neglecting the wife and children. One child turns towards Islam and he thinks he's better than the rest of the family. Allah says, no, you must move together. أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Otherwise your families will become enemies for you. They will become obstacles in the path of your obeying Allah. Save yourselves and your families against a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Why is it that we find the children of some wonderful Muslims disobeying Allah and reckless sinners? Because the parents never bothered to tell them. The parents neglected the children, they were so busy serving Islam. Allah says, no, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masulun an riayatihi. The Prophet ﷺ said these words, every one of you is a shepherd and every one of you will be asked about his flock. So the mother won't just be asked, well, did you go out and teach Islam? She will be asked, did you teach your children? Did you raise your children? So Allah says, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones, over which are angels, stern and severe, who disobey not the commands they receive from Allah, but do that which they are commanded. O you who disbelieve, make no excuses this day. You are being requited only for what you used to do. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, tubu ilallah, tawbatan nasuha. O you who believe, turn to Allah with sincere repentance. Why does Allah qualify the repentance? Not just tawbah, as we say, tawbah, tawbah, I shouldn't say this, and we go ahead and say it anyway. No, tawbatan nasuha, a sincere repentance. There are four basic conditions of tawbah. One is the true sorrow should be felt. Not that you just regret that you can't do that sin anymore, but true sorrow that you ever wasted your time in that sin. The second condition, that the crime should be stopped immediately. Not that you are calmly doing that sin and then you say, oh, may Allah forgive me. Third condition, that there should be a sincere intention not to repeat it. Not that we make a mockery of tawbah. One day we're doing tawbah and the next day we're back to what we were doing before. And fourthly, if it involved the rights of others, we need to seek their forgiveness. If you stole something from someone, you need to return it. If you gossiped about someone, you need to pray for them or ask their forgiveness. And we need to remember above all, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds wipe out evil deeds. So if you want your tawbah to be accepted, then follow it up with a good deed. Why should we do sincere repentance? أَسَى رَبُّكُمْ. Maybe your Lord will expiate from you your sins and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow. The day that Allah will not disgrace the Prophet and those who believe with him, their light will run forward before them and in their right hand. Noor. Where do we get noor from? Allahu noor as-samawati wal-ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And that's why we find that beautiful Masnoon Dua in which we pray that Allah places noor in our tongues, noor in our eyes, noor in our ears, noor on our right side, on our left side, above us, underneath us, all around us. What will the believers be praying? Rabbana atmim lana noorana. Complete our light for us. Don't let our light be uncertain that one day we prayed and the next day we didn't pray. One day we read the Quran, the next day we were gossiping. And this is the light of the munafiq, wavering, uncertain. You know, that comes and goes flickering and then it will be extinguished completely. The mu'min will pray, Atmim lana nurana, complete our light for us. Let it shine out, firm and strong, not wavering, not flickering, not uncertain, like a shining beacon in the darkness. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And forgive us. Forgive us those sins that we committed. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Indeed you are able to do all things. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strive hard against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh against them. Their abode will be hell and worst indeed is that destination. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Allah sets forth an example for those who disbelieve. The wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut, alayhimus salam, they were under two of our righteous slaves, but they both betrayed them. So they helped them not against Allah. وَقِيلَ ادْخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّخِلِينَ. And it was said, enter the fire along with those who enter. What example is this? We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, again reiterating the loyalty that a wife owes to her husband and the husband's mission. So these were Prophet's wives. But they betrayed them. How did they betray them? This is not marital infidelity. This refers to the fact that they did not support their husband's mission. Now we find cases where the husband is turning towards Allah and the wife discouraging him. And the wife is taunting him. And the wife is always dissuading him. Well, stop it and don't become so religious and you're becoming so boring. So the wife can either encourage her husband and support him, or by discouraging him, she can become a barrier in his path of nearness to Allah. Allah says, when these wives betrayed their husbands, they did not support them, did not support their mission, what happened? They could not help them against Allah. Not that they were told, well, because your husband was a prophet, then you're going to be saved. And some women think that, oh, my husband's very good, so he'll take me to Jannah with him. No. وَقِيلَ ادْخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. It was said to them, enter the fire along with those who enter. If the prophets could not help their wives, then what about us? Where do we stand? وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. And Allah sets forth an example for those who believe. Now at the other end of the spectrum, إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْن. The wife of Fir'aun. On one end you have the wife of Nuh and Lut alayhimus salam, that they are the wives of the most pious of creation. But because they disbelieve, because they disobey, their husbands cannot help them. And on the other hand, you have the wife of the most evil in creation, the wife of Fir'aun. What does she say? What's so special about her? إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّبْنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. When she prayed, oh my Lord, oh my Rabb, look at her intimacy with Allah, look at her love for Allah. إِبْنِي, make, build, lee, for me, عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, a house near you in paradise. This woman, surrounded by splendor, surrounded by palaces, by amazing power, for she rejects all that splendor. She doesn't pray for a palace in Jannah. She prays simply for a house. A small house, عِنْدَكَ. What's so special about it? That it should be near Allah. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمِلِهِ. Save me from Fir'aun and his deed. Often women blame their husbands. Well, we would love to do hijab, but our husband doesn't let us. And our husband doesn't let us read the Quran. This is an encouragement for all those with bad husbands. Surely no one's husband can be worse than Fir'aun, the epitome of evil. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And save me from the people who are wrongdoers. On one end of the spectrum, Allah depicts this queen, who has everything and she rejects the dunya because she wants the hereafter. See how Allah loved her dua that Allah has mentioned it, preserved it in the Quran till the day of judgment. Wa Maryam and Maryam, Ibnata Imran, the daughter of Imran. What was so special about Maryam alayhi salam? Allati ahsanat farjaha, who protected her chastity. Now this word here is very important. We read the importance of haya, that when shaitan attacks, he attacks man's haya. What was so precious about Maryam alayhi salam? That she was a symbol of modesty and haya, not inclined to flirtatiousness, not inclined to loose or foul or obscene talk. Now in this day and age, generally the more obscene you are, the more confident, the more bold, the more outspoken you are, the more people respect you. Oh, she's not intimidated by anyone. She's so confident. You know, she just gives it to the men. Allah says, Allati ahsanat farjaha, she protected her haya. And we can see how our standards have changed. فَنَفَقْنَا فِيهِ مِن رُوحِنَا, so we breathed into her through our ruh. And Allah created within her Isa alayhi salam. Was that all she did? No. وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا, she confirmed the truth of the words of her Lord. Women sometimes think of themselves as helpless. What can we do for Islam? And I'm so busy with my children. صَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا, she confirmed the truth of the words of her Lord. She had ilm and she acted upon that ilm by raising Isa alayhi salam as a Muslim. Then we find, وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ, it wasn't just outward show that she was pretending to be pious and pretending to be modest and shy. No, كَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ, that beauty was within her as well. أَتَّقْوَهَا هُنَا, she protected that quality of humility before Allah. If we look at the other women of Islam, what do we find? We find a diversity of women's roles offered to us. Look at Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know how old she was when he died? 18 years old. And she lived for many years after that. What did she do for Islam? She didn't even have any children. She served Islam by giving us a vast heritage of a hadith. And she was probably the best woman scholar. On one occasion, in fact, she asked Hazrat Abu Huraira, how come you've narrated more hadith than me? That shows really her joy and her emphasis, her love for knowledge, that she wanted to find out the reason for this. And Hazrat Abu Huraira replied humorously that when you were busy beautifying yourself, I managed to steal some moments with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows us the balance in Islam. Not that Hazrat Aisha, you know, renounced the world and wouldn't beautify herself and she was just busy memorizing a hadith all day long. She beautified herself for her husband because that too is ibadah. And she gave us this treasury of a hadith because that too is ibadah. Then we find Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. What did Hazrat Fatima do? Her talents lay in raising the children. She was a homemaker. So we have a diversity, we have a spectrum of roles to choose from. Saint, scholar, mother, wife, queen. What was the common factor between all of these women? Muslimatin, mu'minatin, ta'ibatin, qanitatin, abidatin, sa'ihatin. They all believed in Allah. They all served Allah from their different spheres. We all have different niches. It's not for us to compare each other and say, no, I like Hazrat Fatima more than Hazrat Aisha or vice versa. It's not for us to pass judgments. They all served Islam. And at the end of the day, وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ, and that just sums them up. That they had this quality of qunut within them. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best prayer excels in qunut. See, women sometimes feel spiritually that, you know, everything in Islam has been given to the men. That jihad is for the man and everything is for the man. But Allah has told us in the Quran, أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنثَى, I will not let the work of any of you be lost, whether male or female. At the end of the day, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ, the most honorable of you in Allah's eyes is the one who is the most Allah conscious. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.